This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Cover One's Greg Thompson joins us in the sports bar. It's always good to get you on with us, Greg, and to talk about the Buffalo Bills off to a nice start. And I can't help myself when we see the kind of performance that we're starting to see out of some of the star players on this roster. I look ahead and I think, okay, how's Brandon Bean going to manage all of this? And while we have you on, and we know how you like to analyze the Bills cap, and you're kind of like our resident capologist here with the Buffalo Bills, talk a little bit about what the future might look like with James Cook doing everything that he's done as a Buffalo Bill. Because up to this point, it hasn't been Brandon Bean's MO to invest heavily in that position group outside of the draft. And so it leads me to wonder, like, will the Bills change course given what's happened around the rest of the NFL and say to themselves, you know what, James Cook is elite and maybe he does deserve a big payday here. Not in the immediate future, obviously, but down the road.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. First, thanks for having me on again. Appreciate it. Always love jumping on with you guys. I think that it's interesting because of what we saw in the running back market this past year. So I'm not going to try to say that James Cook is on the same tier as these two players, but we just saw two teams that historically have been some of the most analytically inclined, some of the most savvy and strongest decision-making front offices, and that being Philadelphia and Baltimore, just signed the two biggest free agent contracts at running back in the offseason. Now, it was Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, and maybe the lesson learned from that is that elite talent, like difference-making talent at running back, still has a value, and that there's kind of a soft spot in the market where people have overcorrected to the running backs don't matter nonsense that gets thrown around. Now, I'm not sure where that fits with James Cook, because I can look back, and there's an awful lot of Devin Singletary or Zach Moss, and then Devin Singletary, and then Ray Davis, and you're James Cook and Ray Davis, and we see they're like, hey, when it's a year or two out, we draft the next guy, and then you're going to let the other guy walk, and then you draft the next guy, and you're going to let the other guy walk. And there's enough history there that very obviously we don't spend money at running back. So it's hard for me to now assume that that's going to immediately pivot. So my first guess is that we get James Cook this year and next year, and in 2026, our running back room will be Ray Davis and whoever the fourth-round pick is that year, and we will rinse and repeat going forward. But I do leave it open that there is a window where there's a number that could make sense, and James Cook's value could net out with what we think it could be between what the market could get and maybe retaining it.
Yeah, this is what happens when you have a good draft class here, because I'm already looking at the 2022 draft class. Greg Thompson, our guest. If you're trying to determine who gets paid next for the Buffalo Bills, I think a lot of us would say it's Greg Rousseau. Certainly the Bills making that decision with the fifth-year option. But then the fifth-year option, hard for me to imagine the Bills will say, yeah, we like what we saw out of Kyer Elam to make that decision next year. But after Elam, and these guys don't get a fifth-year option, it's only for the first round. You have Cook in the second round, Terrell Bernard in the third round, Shakir, who has developed into this unbelievable target for Josh Allen in the fifth round. Oh, and by the way, where do we put Christian Benford in all this, who may be arguably the best corner in the game today? Where do you begin here, Greg? Is it just who wants to take the deal first here? When does Brandon Bean begin here? Because I would think by the time training camp comes around next year, maybe one of these guys is a storyline here.
Yeah, so one, I think it's awesome that we are already talking about 2 years from now, because all these guys are under contract this year and 2025, and it's rightfully so, because the only like impactful high snap count guys who are free agents next year are the current contributors who are 30 plus. So Amari Cooper, Rasul Douglas, technically guys like Mac Hollins and Dwayne Smoot who are playing snaps. But there are no starters outside of Cooper and Douglas that are free agents next year. So they're in great position that way. And they are doing that because they've gotten ahead of the curve with that player group that you listed. And that group, we already talked about Cook. So now you're talking about guys who I think the likelihood is a little bit higher, which I think the most likely is, if you're going to ask me to rank this and who I think I'm ready to guarantee, hey, this guy's going to be a Buffalo Bill in 2026, I think that, you know, Bernard's probably the biggest lock. Just, you know, he's a captain. Linebacker is one of the less crazy ones to pay. I think that checks out. Then you're probably pretty close in Shakir or Benford. Benford has flourished so much, but corners get paid, and I'm sure he's going to want to get paid a real number. The same thing. Receivers can get crazy numbers. I still think it's really likely that both of those guys are here and get paid, but it's less of a sure thing than Bernard is, just because Bernard checks so many boxes that way. I think those guys check a ton of boxes, but the one thing that goes against them is they play premium positions, and you never know what their agent is looking for. They could just want a crazy amount of money that we can't mess with at wide receiver or corner. That's going to be the toughest one. Great. The biggest coin flip is Gregory Rousseau.
Yeah. Really?
I think that it's because, one, edge rushers get paid a lot. I think that they have a very strong interest in being able to retain him. But I think Rousseau is very interested in making a ton of money and being able to get a huge contract, and he deserves it. He is playing great. He is impacting both sides of the defense for run game and pass game. He is big. He is athletic. He is healthy. He's young. All of those things translate to a guy. You know, I'll take it back this past year. I don't know that Jonathan Grenard is a guy that a ton of people, you know, knew about coming out of Houston, and that the position that he was in when he was coming into free agency. And then you go out and you look and like, oh, who is this guy, Jonathan Grenard, that just signed a $76 million contract? So I think that guys who are really good run defenders and contribute in the pass rush, but have the youth and the health and the age for the upside that, hey, maybe we're going to see more in the pass rush, are still getting paid just on that speculation. So now you add in the fact that Gregory Rousseau's fourth in the NFL in pressures right now. I'm really, really glad we checked that box for the fifth-year option and we lock him in at only $13 million next year, because it's not out of the question that he's like a 20 or 23, $25 million pass rusher when it comes up. So I think they'd love to retain him. I think it's right there at 50-50. Like, I'm not saying he's going to leave, but when you're talking about, hey, it's probably 4 years and $100 million, that's never a guarantee.
Yeah, it's interesting. And the reason maybe we're asking about the, you know, the class of, free agency class of 2026 is because, well, Rousseau's right at the front of the pack there, right? Because he gets the extra year. Brandon Bean does have one thing he could use, and he hasn't used it in his time in Buffalo. The franchise tag, I mean, could you see that coming into play? Because it could be viewed as a hostile move, you know, but in some negotiations, and Brandon Bean has always been, you know, kind of open as far as, you know, where players stand here. But which of these guys do you think would have the best value in terms of, hey, we're just going to tag you for a year here, and then we'll figure it out the following year?
So there's really only one, because unfortunately linebacker accounts for the Micah Parsons and the TJ Watts of the world, who are not linebackers, they're edge rushers. But unfortunately the NFL doesn't allocate between edge and linebacker. So even though the Fred Warners of the world are actually the highest paid off-ball linebackers, the franchise tag next year, not even 2026, which is when Rousseau would come up, but in 2026 or 2025, is $27 million. So I don't think that's obviously not in place for Terrell Bernard. The same thing. I love Khalil Shakir. I don't $25 million love Khalil Shakir. So that's not in play for Khalil Shakir. And I guess Christian Benford's, I mean, I guess it's theoretical. It's still $20 million. I don't think he's a $20 million guy. So I'm going to say that's probably not in play. I don't want to tag Gregory Rousseau, but honestly, like $24 million for the franchise tag isn't a crazy amount more than I think he's going to get paid anyways. That's when a franchise tag makes sense. When the franchise tag is, hey, I think you're going to get this amount of money anyways, and I can't afford to let you leave, so we're going to try to tag you. That's when it makes sense on the team side. The player never likes it, obviously. So I think Gregory Rousseau is the only one that's a possibility, but I certainly think, for one, the salary cap limitations, you can't lower that cap number. You have to fit all 25, it's $24.7 million next year. You have to fit every penny of that onto that year's salary cap. So there's a lot of incentive to reach an extension, and the player and the agent knows that too, that you're helping the team by doing that. So I think all of these guys, I would, if I was including Cook, I would rank Cook last out of the five just because of our history with running back. But I would put Rousseau fourth out of five, because of the crazy amount of money I think he's going to get paid. I think all of them are in play for a late summer extension next year, like we've seen with Ed Oliver and Spencer Brown the last two offseasons.
Greg Thompson, Cover One, our guest here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on the Fan, as we kind of look at the Bills under the hood a little bit here and look towards the future, what the salary cap could mean or what it could look like here for the Buffalo Bills. And looking into the future is one thing, Greg, but we can look right now in the present and tell me where the Bills stand, because if I'm understanding things right, the Evans release yesterday, the Darrington Evans release yesterday, I believe has us at 52. We know that Von Miller is coming back from suspension. But, you know, Brandon Bean has said, no, I'm not necessarily done doing deals. We have until Tuesday. Are the Bills done? Could they be adding another player here at some point?
So I think that obviously I wouldn't set my sights at the Amari Cooper level. But we've also seen other trades in the past here where it's been, you know, we also added Dean Marlowe at the trade deadline 1 year. And we've had other moves that are, you know, hey, can we make this a more, you know, reasonable, you know, acquisition where all of a sudden we're trying to add depth and we're trying to just make it a little bit more reasonable of how we're bringing people in. So I think that it's very possible that we could see some moves like that and able to make a little bit more happen here. It doesn't have to be a Rasul Douglas or a Amari Cooper level trade, but I do think the defensive tackle is a spot that makes some sense. A guy who's playing really well for a team that is going nowhere and that we had in for a workout this offseason is Sebastian Joseph Day. He's a really impactful, versatile defensive lineman. He's a defensive tackle that can push outside and play strong side end. He can rush on third down. He has awesome metrics right now for Tennessee. Tennessee is going nowhere. We had him in for a visit because he was an option to sign in free agency, but obviously they decided to go another direction in what they ended up bringing in for free agency that year. But, you know, we've traded for Nyheim Hines in the past. We've traded for Dean Marlowe. We've traded for Case Keenum. You know, some of the moves have been lower level depth moves. They don't all have to be the Rasul Douglas and Amari Cooper level. Of course, it would be awesome if we go out and get a Za'Darius Smith, or if we go out and get like a big time, you know, Buda Baker or something crazy. But anytime you're asking the other team to pay a bunch of money in order to get it down, because we are only able to trade for players that we trade for a minimum contract. We cannot fit any money onto our salary cap. I think that it's in play. So there are guys that, and I go through and make my Goldilocks list when I kind of create the trade targets, just as an FYI, Amari Cooper was my number one Goldilocks list for wide receiver. I do have a guy like Sebastian Joseph Day at the top of my list for defensive tackles, but there are others. Malik Collins is a guy for San Francisco that could make sense. And honestly, Calais Campbell is a guy that if, you know, the Buffalo Bills can hand another loss to Miami. In-division teams don't like to make trades for guys they're going to see for future years. That's the reason that, you know, Miami wouldn't want to trade us Javon Holland and then see him for another decade. Calais Campbell's been a Miami Dolphin for 8 months. and he isn't going to be one next year. So that's not something that stops an in-division trade from happening. So you have that combination. I think it's safety. You could be able to go in and take a look at, you know, some options that direction that maybe makes some sense. But, you know, is it more realistic that the safety is maybe somebody who's on their couch in Western New York right now? You know, I think that there are some options that way too, that maybe we break glass in case of emergency and call back Mr. Hyde. So I think those are the two spots that make the most sense for me. Maybe there's a, I think the news we've heard on Matt Milano and now Bernard practicing today, I don't think linebacker is as in play as other people have thought it was, but safety and defensive tackle are ones that I could see a lower level move that makes some sense.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Greg, I just your amount, are you surprised? A little, a lot, not at all. I mean, if I go back to August and there goes down Matt Milano and you're looking at the Bills with all this dead cap, second most in the league, and we're looking at the wide receivers and we're not really kind of impressed. I'm quite honestly, I'm surprised at how these younger players, these players we were mentioning before, your Bernard's, Cook, Shakir, certainly Christian Benford. Is that not the real storyline this year? Because we're all talk about Josh Allen and how great he is, but how these guys all seemingly are coming into age here all at the same time.
It is pretty wild. So for as much crap as, you know, Sean McDermott rightfully gets, Brandon Bean rightfully gets, there are things that they've both done wrong. We're not real good at bringing a lot of praise when we see amazing halftime adjustments and second half blowouts. We don't praise the coaching staff for that. When we see, like, hey, you whiffed on this first round pick, well, how about the fact that he hit the sixth round pick out of the park? And then some of these other things that are now coming to fruition where we're seeing younger guys develop into, and Terrell Bernard playing at an all-pro level, Khalil Shakir going from a fifth-round pick to a really reliable, you know, at worst wide receiver two, seeing Christian Benford play at literally an all-pro level. He was PFF's first quarter of the season all-pro at corner coming out of the sixth round. Seeing that kind of value across the board, James Cook turning into the level of running back that he has, having that many hits, it really, really goes a long way. Obviously, we don't know what Keon Coleman's going to turn into, but it looks pretty darn good right now. Dwayne Carter had a lot of flashes before he went out. So people might focus on, hey, why isn't Cole Bishop playing more? Hey, why didn't Kyer Elam pan out? And that, yes, would it be awesome if every single pick was a hit? Sure, but no GM does that. We consistently call Howie Roseman the best GM in the league. Well, guess what? He picked Jalen Reagor one pick before Justin Jefferson. You know, this stuff's hard.
Yeah. Greg, which Dolphins team do you think we get on Sunday? Do we get desperate Miami or defeated Miami?
My history with this team tells us that I do think we will get a piece of desperate Miami right off the bat. They are going to be throwing everything they have at us. But I've also seen that team's got an awful lot of quit in them. And they are ready to roll over as soon as you give them the reason to. So this is going to be an important game to, you know, if we get a little bit of an early lead, we stop them a couple times, they are going to roll over and be ready to go, you know, plan their vacations real quick here. So there's enough talent there. The offense looked good enough against Arizona. Weirdly, their defense had been getting their stuff together, and the defense looked terrible against Arizona. So I do think there's enough talent and speed and excitement on the offense that we've seen them trade blows with us for a while to open up a game. But I don't have real high expectations at this point.
Yeah, the betting line just seems a little fishy here to me. Like, wait a second, you beat this team by 21. They really haven't gotten their act together. You're only favoring Buffalo by 6. There's a lot of sharp money going on the Dolphins here for whatever reason with the points here, Greg. But your thoughts on what's ahead after this? Because you get Joe Flacco again, the Colts. I mean, the Bills should still be only at 2 losses when they get to the Kansas City game in November, correct?
It certainly should. Nothing's guaranteed. We've just, claimed Baltimore certainly thought that going into the Cleveland game. So you can't take anything for granted in this league. It's you have to take each game as it comes. But that's certainly what we should be expecting here. This is exactly what is going on. And I know we've had a couple of these games in the past. We almost did it with the Giants last year. We did it with the Broncos. We did it with the Patriots. We've had games where they should not have let anything slip in the way that they have. But this team seems to have their stuff together. We had a long stretch in McDermott's first, 4 or 5 years where we never dropped those games. I think we're getting back a little bit into that here where they're going to take care of business. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be a lot of style points, but just get a W, move on, survive, get ready for this gauntlet that they have with Kansas City, Detroit, San Francisco, and L.A.
Greg, great insight as always, and we appreciate you giving us some of your time. Tell our audience where they can spend some more of their time with you and the content you're pumping out at Cover One.
Of course. As soon as you guys get done hanging out with the guys here and listening, come on over, check us out at Cover One. You can find us everywhere that you listen for podcasts, online streams. You can search on YouTube, or you can find me at Greg Thompson on Twitter. Come and ask me any questions you might have. We'll hang out.
Your guy Turner, he played for Fisher, did he not?
He did. He did. He was a running back.
Running back. What year?
I think mid-2000s.
Mid-2000s, okay.
He's a couple years younger than me. I graduated. I played from 99 to 03 out in Ohio, but he was a couple years younger
than me. Okay, so who did you play for, Greg?
Baldwin Wallace. I played D3 out in Cleveland.
All right, there we go. Yep, I know all these names.
Gene's going back through his mental Rolodex of names that he's called doing play-by-play.
Fisher. Yeah, I'm like, somebody told me Eric Turner played for Fisher. I'm like, really? He just looks like
yeah,
looks
I had
like
a fun run.
Looks like he's 25, so yeah, go ahead. So,
I was out in the OAC playing there with my freshman year was London Fletcher was at John Carroll, mm-hmm. and then my senior year was Pierre Garçon was at Mount Union, yeah. And during that stretch, Nick Sirianni and I both came from the same area down to the Southern Tier in Western New York, and he went to Mount Union, and I went to Baldwin Wallace playing against each other that whole time, so... lots of people I played against that are way more famous than me, but it was a lot of fun.
Fantastic stuff, Greg. Appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Greg Thompson at Cover One, stopping by the sports bar to share some insight on the Bills cap and look ahead to Sunday's matchup against the Dolphins.
It's going to be a storyline next year. I mean, like, look, we don't need to really dive into who Brandon Bean's going to pay, but all these guys are going to come up at once. And when you pay the first guy, is everybody going to look around at each other and go, what about me?
Yeah, and a lot can happen between now and that day of reckoning, and there will be, the only constant is change.
But day of reckoning, you don't want any of these guys really to go into free agency. We saw with Spencer Brown, like, hey, right before the season started, here's a new contract. Okay, right. Problem solved. So
I keep thinking about the predicament that Trey White finds himself in here. And this is a player that I think a lot of us wanted to see play his entire career in Buffalo, and he was beloved and just everything that you want.
Yeah.
And
two plays, it's over.
Two plays, yeah. And it's over. It's a cruel, cruel business. And now he can't get on the field in LA, and who knows what team he ends up for here beyond Tuesday. There might be some of those kind of decisions that Brandon Bean might have to make about players that we're talking about right now, not because he wants to, but because he has to, and because injuries happen or production falls.
Wait till Christian Benford gets the tag of All Pro.
Yeah,
that's gonna like America doesn't know about Christian Benford and like, oh, here we are. Yeah, that's it. Can you afford that?
And quickly before we go to break, because we talked about this earlier in the week when we called the race for the AFC East.
We at the sports bar, we are calling the race over in the AFC East. It's over.
You're going to hear it a lot here between now and Tuesday, obviously, and a little bit beyond Tuesday as well. The Bills can actually clinch. I don't know if you saw this. As soon as week 11.
Okay, so what is week 11? This week is week 9 coming up.
Yep.
Well,
they have to go 3-0 over their next three.
They could clinch with a win over the Chiefs?
If they go 3-0 over their next three and the rest of the division goes 0-3 over their next three, the Bills will clinch as soon as week 11.
Now, they can't imagine that, but I could imagine. I said the San Francisco game. That's 13.
Yeah. There have only been four teams in NFL history that have clinched in week 11. The Bills would be the fifth. They need to go 3-0. The rest of the division needs to go 0-3.
Like, it's seeding. That's what I want to know. Can the Bills get to the two? Can they get the one? Well, if they beat the Chiefs, like, the Chiefs have a cupcake schedule. They really do. Yes, there's divisional games in there, but I think the two seed is the honest target here for Buffalo. That should be the goal.
We haven't done any McDermott McLies today.
We should do some. Oh, wait a second. Who are they playing this week?
They're playing Miami.
Oh, my gosh. Danger. This team. They're fantastic.
McDermott could really hit us with some doozies this week. In fact, it took a lot of restraint to not hit the bell during your sports update when McDermott was talking about Miami's offense.
Wait, can you play that update or play that one we were using the update? Like, Sean McDermott, what do you think of the Miami offense?
Yeah, I think they're back to being that offense that we know, and so explosive, so dynamic, so potent in what they do and how they do things. I think Coach McDaniel does a great job of putting them into great positions, and so they're very tough.
It's 6:17. Oh, we could have a lot of fun with
it. It's a killer pace. Yeah. Happy hour is next. We have time for your calls. 866-4326 if you want to pull up a stool. 585-866-4326. And by the way, let's do this now as well, Gino. Let's give away another pair of tickets, free tickets, to see Dweezil Zappa. His guitar wants to kill your mama. And you can get those free tickets before you can buy them Friday when they go on sale at 10 a.m. He's coming to Kodak Center April 15th, 2025. Dweezil Zappa, two free tickets now, 866-4326. Caller 5, good luck from the Sports Bar.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.